We're up to Perek Mem Dalid. Okay, 124 on top, 233 at the bottom. And these Tanyas. Okay, so in Perek Mem Gimel, the Alter Rebbe was speaking about the various different levels of love and fear. There's a love that comes from the distance, because you're distant from Hashem, and then there's a love that once you're there, Hashem gives it to you as a gift from above. And first you start with the lower level, and then you come to the higher level, and so on. So he says, in Ikob Madregas Ava, these levels of love of Hashem that he spoke about before, Mibez Madregas Elo, from these two levels, that he said, Avas Olam, which is the Ava that comes from meditation in the world, that you're doing, and then you have the Ava Rabba, the love that comes from Hashem. But let me take a minute to explain what the level of Avas Elam, in the level of love, of loving Hashem, there's the famous question of the Mizrach Magid, very famous question. How can you command somebody to love? There's a mitzvah in the Torah, love God. After Hashem Elokecha, Shema, right? Love God, your God, with all your heart, all your soul. So he asks a very practical question. You can't command somebody on a feeling. You can command somebody on an action, on a speech, on a thought. I could tell you, as presidents in previous generations would say, I could tell you eat broccoli even though you hate it. Right? But I can't command you love broccoli if you don't. I mean, there's no button to turn on that also would make me love broccoli. I can tell you, even though you don't like it, eat it anyway. Okay? I can tell you, even though you don't want to put on tefillin, put it on anyway. You don't want to light candles, do it anyway. But I can't say you love candle lighting or love tefillin. How can Hashem command us to love on a love? So the Maggid explains, the Mizrach Maggid answers, the Ahavta in the Torah does not mean you should love. The pasuk V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha comes in a continuation of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, right? It says, meditate into the greatness of Hashem. And then V'ahavta, the Maggid defined it to mean not you should love, but V'ahavta in Hebrew means you will love. Meaning, Hashem created a person, we discussed this before when we're learning this parable, but Hashem created a person in a way that intellect stimulates feelings. If you meditate into how great something is, you'll either create a love to it, a fear of it. If you meditate how monstrous something is, then you're going to create a fear of that thing in your heart, because intellect stimulates feelings. That's the way Hashem set up the person. Why is it like that in the physical world? Because in the spiritual world, Chochma and Bina, father and mother, creates the midas, which are the children. Emotions, which are the children. So the mitzvah, the Maggid says, the mitzvah is to meditate into Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That the heavens and earth, and seven heavens and earth, and the four corners of the world, and everything else is nullified and subjugated and non-existent compared to the Aleph of Echad. Okay, Echad is Aleph Ches Dalet, Aleph is one. Ches is eight, which represents seven heavens and earth. Dalet is the four corners of the world. Seven heavens and earth, which is eight. Four corners of the world are all subjugated to the one Hashem. What exactly is this meditation? I mean, you can meditate for this for billions of years. But part of the meditation, Chassidus explains, is as follows. The universe, you know the universe? Not earth. Universe. Was created with one word from God's mouth. The pasuk says in Tillim, we say it every Shabbos and davening, Bidvar Hashem, Bidvar, with the word of God, Shemayim Nasu, the heavens were made. Heavens don't only mean the physical heavens, it means the spiritual universe also. Atzilis, Brio, Yitzira, Siya, above Atzilis. Everything in the world, spiritual and physical world, were created with one word from Hashem's mouth. Hu amar vayehi. God said, and it became. Bidvar Hashem, one word from God's mouth, everything was created. That means that this universe, even if just think about the physical universe, they keep finding new planets and new Plutos and new Jupiters, and this week they found some more moons of Jupiter, I think. It's unbelievable, the universe, the vastness of the universe. And a person thinks, okay, God created that with one word. Now let's understand the analogy by a physical human being. We learned this many times. One word compared to my power of speech is infinite. My power of speech is infinite. Realistically, I live 120 years, X amount of seconds. It takes a second to say a word. Realistically speaking, I can only say X amount of words. Okay, but the power of speech that I have is infinite. So one word compared to the power of speech is one to infinite, nothing. Above speech is thought. So if you compare that one word to thought, it's even more nothing. Above thought is emotions. Above emotions is intellect. Above intellect is willpower. Above willpower is the essence. Okay? So you can imagine one word by a person compared to the power of speech, thought, compared to our essence, is non-existent. Correct? Okay. So now, Avas Elam that we were learning about before, and that's what he's going to explain, this infinite amount of levels in these things, each one of them. Avas Elam means you meditate through world to understand the greatness of God. Like we just said, you take the universe, and this is one, like, you know, the expression, in Yiddish is an expression, ashpay in yam, a spit into the ocean doesn't really add too much water to the ocean, right? Spit into the ocean, you're not really doing. So the creation is like a spit from Hashem, one word, compared to the power of the ocean, you're not doing any big shakes, okay? So therefore, what's he saying? A person needs to meditate. All the physical pleasures and excitement and all that stuff is only one word from Hashem's mouth. When a person does a mitzvah, they connect to the essence of God. Not this speech, not this thought, not these emotions. You do a mitzvah, you connect to the essence of God. So therefore, what's the concept Chassidus explains? A person needs to meditate in the greatness of God, how great Hashem is, and how I, through one mitzvah, can connect to the essence of Hashem, when the whole universe is one word from His mouth. That meditation, if you think about it deeply and objectively, no, I mean, subjectively, you internalize it, the Maggid said, via hafta, you will come to love God. But that's only avas elam, because that's the meditation that you are doing from below into the world, understanding the world. Then, like we learned last week, avar abba, though, is the love that God gives you from above, which is even greater, because that's a gift from above. It's not what you're working on. Because the problem is, what we work on, the meditation that stimulates the feelings, our meditation, our brains are limited. So as much as we think we understand, it's very limited. And if our intellect is limited, then the feelings we create through the intellect are limited. Right? So when you meditate into the greatness of Hashem on our own level, it's really limited. When Hashem avar abba, like you said before, Hashem gives us this gift of love from above, that's a whole different story. Then God's giving it to you on His level, not on your level. So God's giving you infinite love. Okay? So now the Alter Rebbe is saying that these two levels of avas olam that comes through meditation, and avar abba, which is a gift from above, they're two general ones, but each one is composed of infinite levels. How much you love, you meditate more, you love more. You meditate less, you love. So every person, no two people think alike, so no two people love alike. So there's infinite levels of all these levels. That's what he says like this. Kol madregas ava, any level of love. Mi beis madregas eilu, from these two levels. Ava Rabba Vava Salem, the love that you comes from the person and the love that comes from Hashem. Nechlaka Lakama Bchinas and Madregas Linketz is divisible into infinite amount of levels. Kochad Lafum Shiura Delay, every person based on their own level of understanding. Based on their own level of understanding, that's how much they get. Like it says in the Zayar, and the Pasik, Neida Basharim Baila, her husband is known in the gates. Okay, that was saying in what's it called? Eshes Chayil. Baila Dakut Shebrichu, that refers to the Zayar, says to the Holy One, the Iyum is Yada, that Hashem makes himself known, V'izdapk and connects to every Jew, the fumad the Meshaya Balibay, everyone to the extent that he measures in his heart. Meaning the Zera says, Neida Bashar and Baila means the husband becomes known in the gates. Now the husband is God, we're the family, right? So Hashem connects to everyone in the gates, meaning in their heart. Every person has their own unique relationship with Hashem, based on the level of their feelings and love and intellect and so on of Hashem. Lochein, therefore, nikroim dechilu urochimu. Therefore, love and fear are called hanistores laHashem Elokeinu, the hidden levels, because they're hidden within us. But the Torah mitzvahs, but Torah mitzvah that we openly do, hey niglas lanu uvaneinu lasis, is what's revealed to us to do. So the Alter Rebbe says like this. In mitzvahs, we actually open, I was going to say it inside, because he really explains it inside. Ki teira achas umishpat echad l'kulanu. Because there's one teira for everybody. You put on, not you, different men put on tefillin, their action is all the same. The love and the fear of the mitzvah, the intent of the mitzvah, that's different by every person. Right? The action of the mitzvah, that is equal by every single person. That's one Torah. This is the way you put on tefillin, right? Everybody puts on tefillin the exact same way to do the mitzvah. But the feeling and the love and the fear that you create through the mitzvah, that's infinite. Every person is different. So therefore, when the pasuk says hanistores, the hidden levels are to God, that refers to the love and fear, which are not revealed openly, that the person himself. You know, it's interesting. Certain things in Yiddishkeit are halachically hidden. We learned a long time ago, there's a very interesting din in halacha, in the Gemara. If somebody did a sin, let's say they murdered somebody, there were witnesses, okay, the guy had a trial, and the Beis Din said, okay, you're getting killed. He killed somebody, capital punishment, right? Tshuva does not help for that sin. The guy can come crying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, and tshuva does not help. But if a Jew does a sin that God kills us, like chorus, like eating on Yom Kippur, eating chametz on Pesach, you know, those types of Vedas that the punishment is chorus, that Hashem kills you, not the court. So then the din is, you're able to do tshuva. Why? For the Beis Din kills you, you can't do tshuva. When God kills you, then you could do tshuva. So the Rebbe always quoted as a Neid of Yehuda, that explains a very logical reason for this. There's a rule in halacha, Ein ledayin ela masha ein avrayis. A judge can only go by what they see. Halachically, a judge can only go by what they see. They're not prophets. They don't know what they don't see. They know what they see. So he says like this, when a person kills somebody, and there's two witnesses that testify that they killed him, and Beis Din checks it out to make sure it's 100% true. So Beis Din, basically through the testimony of the witnesses, saw the murder. Right? The witnesses testify the murder happened. Bezdin trusts the witnesses halachically, and therefore Bezdin will give capital punishment. So Bezdin saw the murder. Did the guy do tshuva or not? Bezdin can't see what's going on inside. Tshuva, you could be a great actor or actress, and you could put on a crying show, and you could put on everything great, how really serious you are, you know, and repenting, and it could all be false. You don't know what's going in. Tshuva is in the heart, deep. Courts cannot see what's going on inside you. So in this case, the Nedib Yehuda says, the murder the court saw. The tshuva, they can't see, it's hidden. They don't know if the guy did tshuva. It might look like he did tshuva, but they don't know for sure that he did tshuva. They know for sure the guy murdered the guy. So therefore tshuva doesn't help. Because the courts can't see what's really doing inside of you. But when Hashem kills you for a crime, Hashem knows what's going inside of us. So Hashem knows if you repented or not, if you did tshuva. See, if Hashem knows that you did tshuva, Hashem will forgive you. And if not, Hashem won't forgive you because he knows you didn't do tshuva. In other words, tshuva helps for everything. But the question is, when Beis Din sees you doing the sin, they don't know if you did tshuva or not. You might be screaming tshuva, crying tshuva, but they don't know if you really meant it. There are certain things in the person which are hidden. And Alter Rebbe is saying here, love and fear, you know, you can, you know, everything today is fake. Fake everything. There is definitely, you have this, you see this in relation, there's fake love. People will tell you, oh, how much they love you, and it's baloney. Right? It's not true. Because real love is hidden deeply. It manifests itself in an action. But the actual love and fear is very deeply rooted. That's called the hidden levels of God. The nigla is the revealed levels of God. That's the observance of Torah and mitzvahs. Therefore, therefore the analogy that Alter Rebbe is giving the whole time is love and fear are the soul of the mitzvah. The action of the mitzvah is the body of the mitzvah. Right? Now, when you look at somebody, do you see their neshama? No. You know it exists, because if it wouldn't exist, they would be dead. So when you see a moving person, you know they're alive. They have a neshama. Do you know what it is? Do you see it? No, you don't have the faintest idea, because it's hidden. What do you see? The body. That's open, that's revealed. When it comes to Torah and mitzvahs, Dr. Rebbe says the action of the Torah and mitzvah, the action of the putting on tefillin, lighting Shabbos candles, learning Torah, that's seen. That's noticeable. The love and the fear, that's hidden in the heart. Sometimes you can have real, and sometimes you can have not real. The famous story of the Rebbe Rashab. The Rebbe Rashab was once speaking the greatness of a certain simple individual. He was speaking to a chassid of his. The Rebbe Rashab was speaking to a chassid of his, the greatness of a certain simple Jew. So, he said to Rebbe Rashab, I don't see it. I don't see it in this person. So the Rebbe Rashab said to him, what do you do for a living? He knew, but what do you do for a living? He's a diamond merchant. So the Rebbe Rashab said, show me some of your goods. So the guy got all excited. He went, he came back with his diamond tool chest, whatever, his diamond safe, and he takes putting out diamonds on the table, and he says to the Rebbe Rashab, this is a blue diamond, what he'll curve, whatever, you know, he said, telling him the various different levels of the diamond. So the Rebbe Rashab looked at him, And he says, I don't see the difference. To me, they all look the same. So he said to the Rebbe Rashab, Rebbe, on a diamond, you have to be a maven. Came an English word, by the way, maven. You have to be an expert. You have to know your stuff. So the Rebbe Rashab said to him, on another Jew, you also have to be a maven. And then the Rebbe Rashab said to him, you don't see the greatness of that individual Jew, but I do. Because Jews are my business. So I know the diamonds is your business. He told him, Jews are my business. And he you don't need to be a maven, because you need to see, like Hashem does, God looks inside the person to know what's going on. Okay, he says, yet there's one love, okay, okay? He said, even though there's different loves, Avas Olam, the love that comes through meditation, Avar Abba, the gift that comes from, the love that comes from Hashem, he said, there's one love that includes both of them together. What is that? And not only that, V'yishav l'chol nefesh miYisrael, every single Jew has it, and its inheritance. Okay? There's a level of love that every single Jew, no matter who the Jew is, has it as an inheritance from our forefather, Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. What is that? He says, I know Mashiach calls, if I say what the Zohar Kodesh says, on the Pasuk, Nashi ivisicha b'alayla, my soul, I desire you at night. Meaning, it says that the Yirachem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says that one should love the Holy One, the Nafsha Richimusa, he should love Hashem with his love of a soul and spirit, Kamad is Dabaku, as much as they are attached to the body, Ilam Begufa Begufa Rochemling. He says, as these are attached to the body and the body loves them and so forth. Okay, he's going to explain what this means. What the Rebbe is saying is, there's a certain level of Ava, of Hashem, which is not coming from meditation. It's not coming from a gift from above. It is what you are. You have it. Inheritance. Just because you are a Jew, you have it. What does it mean? Bezesh, because of this, what it means, Nafshi ivisicha. My soul, I desire you, Kleimer, Mipnei Sha'ato Hashem, because you, God, are Nafshi V'chayi Amitim, you are my soul, and you are my true existence, Lekach Ivisicha, therefore I desire you. Meaning like this, the Alter Rebbe is explaining, a person says to God, to Neshama, to Hashem, because you are my existence, you are my soul basically, you are my existence, therefore just like I love to live, I love you, because you're my existence, you are my life. There's a level that the person says to Hashem, and he says, because since you are God, my real soul, my real life, what's the life of the person? Hashem? Therefore, I desire you. Meaning, I long, what do you say in the Hebrew? I desire you, God. Just like a person desires to live. If Hashem is my existence, then I desire Hashem, like I desire life. And therefore, Kshuhu chalosh, and therefore when he's weak, umauna mitaiva, and he longs and he yearns for his soul to revive him. So therefore, that's the longing that he has for Hashem. Meaning, the person longs to live, but when you're sick, the longing is stronger. When you're sick, the longing for life is strong because you don't have it. Right? And therefore, He says, this is when a person spiritually is weak. So then, it's a much more powerful thrust of love that the neshama has to Hashem. You know, there's a very interesting, somebody once asked the Frida Greb, there's a story, it went around like recently. I mean, it's an old story, but it was resurfaced recently. The Frida Greb was speaking to somebody, and he said, oh no, the Rebbe told the story about himself. The Rebbe was in 770, and the Rebbe was talking, our Rebbe, during the time of the previous Rebbe. And he was talking to a Nami, the Jewish Jew, for a long period of time. And somebody came over to him, the Rebbe told the story, and somebody came over to me, and he started telling me off, why am I wasting my time with just a Jew who's not religious anyway? And I'm explaining to him, no, maybe he'll become closer to Yiddishkeit. And the guy says, why are you wasting your time with this non-religious person? So the Rebbe said it bothered me. Maybe the guy was right. Maybe he was right. So I went upstairs. There was downstairs in 7. If you need to live upstairs, the Rebbe said, I went upstairs to my father-in-law. I went into him. And I told him what happened. That I was talking to this non-from person and a guy told me off for doing it. Am I right or not? So the Friedrich Rebbe said to him like this. If a person has a child, the couple has a child, they love that child completely 100% of the heart. When they get a second child, they don't split it 50-50. Each one still has 100% of the love. Correct? But sometimes you can have one of the children could be disabled. A disabled child. Challenged child, as he called him. But then, the love of the parent to that child is even stronger because they're sick than the love they have to all the other children. It doesn't diminish the love to the other children, but the love somehow gets stronger to the sicker child, disabled child, handicapped child, more than to the other children, because this needs it more. So the Rebbe said to him, the previous Rebbe said to the Rebbe, that Hashem loves every single Jew. 100%. Each Jew Hashem loves 100, not the 40 millionth percent, right, 15 million, whatever it is. Hashem loves every single Jew 100%. But sometimes a child is sick, spiritually. They're disabled. So the love that Hashem has to that Jew is much more than he has to a healthy Jew, meaning to a religious Jew. So the previous Rebbe said to the Rebbe, you're doing 100% right. What you did was 100% correct, and that's what you need to do. But there's another one, I'm not it. It's later. But Rabbi Josh Gordon's father told the story that when he went out on Shlichus, he went into the Friedrich Rebbe and said, you know, when you deal with non-religious Jews, when do you scream at them? And when do you not scream at them? You know, they're not doing, they're not keeping Shabbat. They're not keeping, so do you scream at them? Don't you scream at, like, how do you know the balance? So the Friedrich Rebbe also said a phenomenal concept. He said, you know what a schwitz is? A sauna? Okay. So, I don't know about the women's sauna, but the men's sauna, I don't know from experience, trust me. But you go into the room and you get very heated. And, huh?
The wet sauna?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And then they would whip you with a whip.
A branch.
Yeah, branch. And that made you feel even better. It was supposed to.
Supposed to.
It's supposed to make you feel better. So he says, people pay money to go to the sauna to get heated up like that and get whipped. Now, if you do that, if you would go over to a guy in the street and whip him, he'd kill you. I mean, he'll call the cops on you. What's the difference in the sauna? So the Friedrich Rebbe said like this. In the sauna, the person is warmed up. And the warmer they get, the more they want to be hit. But if they're not warmed up, then you can't hit them. So the previous Rebbe said to him that a Jew who's not warmed up yet to Yiddishkeit, you can't yell at him, you can't scream at him, you can't do anything. Because you're gonna, he's gonna call the cops on you, you know, spiritual cops on you. But one, you have to first take them in, and you have to warm them up, and you have to get them hot, and hotter, then they're gonna ask you to whip them. Then they're gonna want to be whipped. So he said, this is the same concept when you're dealing with these, people. Okay.
Okay.
You have to close this.